He's a wonderful Savior.
Amen.
Some years ago, the Lord brought all the remembrance of the Lord, just to have him bring things back to your remembrance. He can bring back good things. He wants to stir up pure minds by way of remembrance. We had gone to Macon, Georgia some years ago. It was a Sunday afternoon. We was in the Holiday Inn, I think it was. Don't know if you remember that, do you, hon? Probably the last time we seen just a car. And like always, when you preach as many times as I preach, you wonder what in the world to say. And all while I was sitting there, scripture kept going through my mind, and I finally looked it up. The apostles came to the Lord and said, "Lord, increase our faith." Jesus said, "What for?" Now, I'm not going to ask you whether you buy that or not. I am slowly getting to the place that you can't look for a reaction from the people of God. The mandate that God has said about his people is sad. It's just sad. It's like I told you at supper time tonight. See, I say things about God that probably no man on the face of the earth would have nerve to say. And the reason for that is because he does talk to me face to face. And he tells me things, and it's not secondhand. And someone said, "Well, God can do that to everybody." Well, he just hasn't decided to do it that way. No matter what you want to say, no matter how you want to feel, that's the reason why he has preachers. He didn't say, you can hear without a preacher. You can receive God speaking to you without a preacher. He didn't say that. He said, how can they hear without a preacher? Now, why don't God just talk to you? Come on. He says, you're not going to get faith without a preacher.
That's what he said.
That's what he said. You wonder why when Jesus replied, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith? Because there's not going to be any preachers around. Very few preachers anymore. I'm one of the old breed. Brother Kirk mentioned how he went to the funeral. Of course, he didn't go. But they had an old-time UPC pastor, I'm sure it was. Was that a UPC? Was it a UPC? An old-timer. Was it a UPC? An old-timer. Now, the UPC today probably won't even recognize the guy. Well, an old-timer preached at a funeral, and he didn't preach about the dead guy. He preached to the folks sitting out there. An old-timer. See, a preacher. Preacher. He's old, now he's on a retirement list. He's gone as far as he's going to go. They ain't going to give him no big church no more. So he ain't not trying to please the big shots or the little shots. Huh? And prophet says, thank God the old boy died. I got a chance to preach.
Amen.
He lives to preach.
Amen.
And he preaches to live.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's right.
He preaches to preach. And most of you folk, you don't know preachers. You haven't heard too many of them.
No.
That's why I want to preach to preachers. You don't recognize them.
Amen.
What does it mean to preach? What is there about a preacher that is different than... You notice now, it doesn't say that it's an apostle or a prophet or a pastor. It doesn't say that. See, they all can preach, but they don't all preach. It had, the gift that God gives men does not include the gift of preaching. You can be an apostle and not preach at all. You can be a prophet and not preach at all. You can be a pastor and not preach at all. You can be a teacher, not preach at all.
Amen.
You can just be an ordinary commonary deacon like Stephen and preach.
Yeah. Amen.
Stephen preached and he wasn't even ordained in any one of the ministering gifts as far as we know.
Amen.
Now their minds are going to rattle.
Amen.
He was a deacon.
Right.
He was one of those that was looked out that they could relieve the apostles to take care of the word. And he was picked out to take care of the administration of the widows and the orphans and visitation. And he ended up preaching one of the greatest sermons man ever heard.
Yeah.
He wasn't called. There is no calling in the Bible to preach, you know. That's something we had always called to preach.
Yeah.
Where do you find that? It's not there.
Amen.
Sorry.
Amen. That's right.
No man ever called to preach. He's called of God to be a man, and then he should, just like I say, handle the word of God. Brother Jackson, I'll tell you, he's never been called to preach. And look how many times he got up here and preached. And he still ain't called to preach. No, Brother Jackson, you can't identify Brother Jackson's ministry except to help. That's all, just to help.
Go ahead.
I say, I need help, Jackson. What are you going to do? Preach, okay.
Amen.
Sing, okay.
Yeah.
Now dig a ditch, okay.
Okay.
Hello.
Amen.
Are you having a problem with that? Some of you are. Well, I want to know my calling. You're called to be saints. That's the calling. When the Bible says many are called, but few are chosen, that's what you were called to be. You're called to be saints. Hey, you can be a prophet and not be a saint. You can be an apostle and not be a saint. You can be a teacher and not be a saint. But everybody can be saints. Hallelujah. The high calling. That's the high calling, boy. You don't measure up to that one. Saints called out and chosen. Handpicked, shined up and polished. The jewels of our God. The crown jewels. I beg your pardon. Hallelujah. And I can tell you, I was a preacher before I was anything else. Before I knew anything about being an evangelist, about being a prophet, I preached. Yes, I did. When they told me I couldn't do nothing, I preached. So I'm still preaching. Naomi tried to remind me tonight. I said, we'll be home early. She said, who's preaching? I said, I am. She said, can we go be home early? I said, Daddy, you always say that. I might fool y'all tonight. Just might fool y'all. Lord, increase our faith. And Jesus said, you don't need it. You don't need your faith increased. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed. Now, I remember back years ago when we used to stick up and talk about faith. A lot of discussion on what is the difference between a mustard seed and all the other seeds. There are other seeds smaller than a mustard seed, by the way. But it is the smallest, purest seed there is. There is no other, it has no shell. It is all mustard inside, outside, all around. Pure. It is a pure seed. Now, debate me on that one. Go ahead. Go ahead. I'm an old faith preacher, and you mark it down. I had that settled long before some of you were born. So get out your dictionaries and your concordances and whatever you want to. It is a pure seed. Other seeds may have a shell or other parts to it. But the mustard seed is the smallest and it's the purest. It is a small, pure seed. It is all mustard. It is mixed with nothing. Now that's a fact. Don't fight it. Well, can we go home and check it out? No, hear it. Faith don't come by checking. It comes by hearing. So he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Lord, they said, increase our faith. He said, you don't need your faith increased. God hath dealt to every man a measure of faith. And the smallest measure is a mustard seed. You got that much. And you can do anything you need with that. He said, if you had faith, and you do. All men don't have active faith. Or working faith, or believing faith. Some have dead faith. Yeah, they do. Faith without works, faith, faith, faith without works. Faith, faith, faith. It didn't say works is dead. It said faith, faith, the little vital faith. It said faith, faith, faith. Oh, you're fighting. Oh, this generation, how we kick. Oh, how we kick. How we kick. Oh, it's no wonder God has such a hard time penetrating your veneer. Well, brother, sir, can we reason? That's all you've ever done all your life. Why don't you believe? Faith without works. It didn't say that there is no faith if you have no works. It's talking about faith that is not working. You have faith, though. Yeah, you do because you believe lies. You believe things you shouldn't believe. That's faith. Faith is the ability to believe. You believe you can't do nothing? That's faith. Faith without works is dead. Jesus said if you had faith, this is a remarkable scripture because it's thrown in our face almost all the time. There's a part in here that just flabbergasted me that day. If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you should say to this sycamore tree, be thou plucked up. Be thou cast into the sea. And here's the way it is, and it should obey you. It, the sycamore tree. The sycamore tree ought to obey me. That's mind-boggling. It should obey you. And if it don't, your faith ain't working. Now see, we talk today about how nobody's been healed in these last few days. And nobody has. This flu or this thing that's gripped this nation and gripped the people of God from one end of this country has taken its course. About everybody's got it, had to go right through it. Nobody was miraculously healed by it. Nobody was just set free. No, we made it. We endured on to the end of it. And today we're getting over it and get above it and coming out of it. But we had to endure it. And some are still enduring it with the divine healer in their midst. Why has it not been removed? And I've tried to tell you. You see, unless you understand the times, you are not going to stand. Having done all to stand, you're going to have to get the... We don't believe these scriptures. The kingdom of God is suffering violence. It is under attack. It is being sabotaged. It is being terrorized. It is being ostracized. It is being destroyed. Every facet and everything that can be shaken is being shaken. Your relationship with your wife, your relationship with your children, your relationship with your fellow man, your relationship with yourself, your relationship with your God. If it can be shaken, it is being shaken, and there is no, just like He said it would be. Now you were told to be unmovable. On Christ the solid rock I stand. Hey, all other ground. After you have done all to stand. What are you expecting? What are we expecting today? Are we expecting not to be shaken? Why, most of you can't really say you're really on the solid rock tonight. The scripture says you hear His words. And you do them. Then you're like a man whose house is built on a rock. We are not a people who have heard His words, let alone do them. Not in this generation. We are a gainsaying people. I used to marvel at that word. That's an interesting word, gainsaying. People whose life is against or contrary to the word. They're against it. They oppose it. They resist it. And you see, we as Christians don't want to say, help me, Lord. Help my unbelief. No, we want to boast that we have faith and we're strong in God. We want to impress each other with our standing with God among men instead of impressing God with our standing with Him by ourselves. Come on. We don't want to do that. We're constantly trying to establish our reputation among men instead of getting ourselves steadfast in God. I'm preaching all right, whether y'all like it or not. And didn't even know what I was going to talk about, see? Increase our faith. Why don't you use what you have? It should obey you. He said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you should say to this mountain, be thou removed. My God, a mountain be removed? And it should obey you. I don't know if you people really want your faith to work. This is a generation that's a faithless generation. I was talking about Jacob out here. He come out here and he stood like a what? Dish rag. And I just wouldn't show him no pity. I said, that's all you're wanting, son. You're wanting pity, boy. That's all you want. There's a way to be sick without showing you want pity. I remember years ago when divine healing was being propagated everywhere. And some of the folk you prayed for just didn't want to be healed. They just did not want to be healed. They enjoyed being sick. They enjoyed the attention. They enjoyed the laying on of hands. They just did not want to be delivered.
Amen.
Jesus showed us that when he walked through the pool of Bethesda. The Bible said there were five porches. Five. Five hospital wards. Filled with every kind of sickness and disease. And they were all waiting. They were all waiting there. And they were waiting for the moving of the water. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. John chapter 5, read it. Came to this place where it was number one hospital. Old folk home, retirement place, whatever. All kinds of impotent folk. Waiting for the moving of the water. Bible said Jesus came to a man who had been there for 38 years. That's a long time. You'd have thought the man would have just laid down and died and got it over with. 38 years. 38 years. How many times I used to preach and saw 38 miracles or heard about them? Guaranteed. Hey, this is not a hypothesis. This was a true fact. According to the theology of that day, once a year. Nobody was refuting it. There was no debate on it. It's written as a fact. It was no parable. Once a year, an angel come down and trouble that water. And the story was that whosoever got in immediately after the troubling of the water was made whole of whatever sickness they had.
Right.
Made no difference. And Jesus just shocked them. You know, he walked up to this man, picked out the fellow there probably the longest. As far as we could gather, he might have been there the longest, 38 years. People would look at him and say, boy, that fellow just ain't never going to get healed. Just ain't never going to make it. Just, that's all it's to. He's going to die right here. Watch these miracles every year. And Jesus walked over to him and I marvel at you. What a dumb question. I mean, can you picture walking into this hospital down here with these sick folk and noses in their holes and laying a half dead? Can you picture walking over here to Jacob right now sitting over here and say, are you willing to be healed? Can you picture that? Can you picture walking up to any of you folks who were suffering with that fever and those pains and say, are you willing to be healed? Boy, that's an insult. Why you think I'm enjoying this? You look, now there you are. I'm amazed at you. Somebody said he did do that. Well, he didn't say that. Yeah, he said that. No, yes, he did. Oh God, I've never witnessed this. I thought tonight I could preach this thing and not to go about this bad in your minds. My God, I can't believe. Well, where the miracles? No, wait, nothing. He said, wilt thou. W-I-L-T. 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 Which means, are you willing? I get that to you hardheads. Are you willing to be saved from your sins? Are you willing to be filled with the Holy Ghost? Are you willing to be holy? Are you willing to overcome sin? Are you willing to serve the God of heaven? Are you willing to be free? You see, this is where it's all at. It's that will of man that's rebelling against God. I ask you, can you, old Jacob over here sitting down, just about ready to flop out? Can you picture going over and say, Jacob, are you willing to be healed? Sister David, she's walking around here. Ask her if she's willing to be healed. You're not going to sell my integrity. I'm not going to ask you. Because you'd make a fool of God. Yeah, you would. We're a generation that mocks God. This fellow did too. He did. Jesus walked up to this man 38 years late at that pool, and he said to him, wilt thou be made whole? And the fellow comes back immediately, I have no man to put me into the water. No yea or nay. Let me tell you why I'm still in this position, sir. It's really not up to me at all, you know. If it was up to me, I would have been healed 38 years ago. Jesus says, oh yeah? You're really for real, huh? I ain't got nobody to put me in the water. Huh? Well, he says, just rise, take up your bed. What? Have you looked at me all right, sir? I've been in this bed for 38 years. I told you I ain't got nobody even carry me some water. How do you expect me to get up? I remember one of the first lessons I ever learned, or should have learned, or thank God, maybe I'll have to learn again. I've had the flu many times, you know. Just about every flu that's ever come through. Got to be Asian flu, Hong Kong flu, you name it, I had it. I mean, you couldn't minister to people like I ministered to them and get among them without picking it up. I'd pick it up. And I remember the Hong Kong flu very vividly. I remember the Asian flu very vividly. I always remember my oldest son had the Asian flu. I remember I've told the story to you many times. The boy laid, his fever went high. I was living in Alabama in a 3-room house that I paid $500 for. The Ku Klux Klan had kicked me out of the house I was in. I was making $5 a week. I was an unknown. Nobody knew me. Nobody cared hardly except my mama. My dear old mama. Bless her heart. Mama always seemed to have some kind of faith. Might have been imperfect faith, but she always had faith. And I was her pride and joy out of all of her boys. She gave me to God and I didn't fight it. The rest of them she gave to God and they went their own way. But somehow Ralph gave in and turned himself over to God. And Mom would say, my preacher boy, my preacher boy, my preacher boy. And when God didn't seem to come through, Mom would help him out. She'd come through. Bless her heart. Always found a way. And the boy laid on the bed. We was in this 3-room house. We had the middle room was a bedroom. The boy laid over there. And he had a tremendous fever. It was so hot you could feel it. You could smell it. Fever, hot. Hot fever. You could smell the heat. And I'd go and pray for that boy. Go and pray for that boy. And I've said it many times. I must have prayed it at least 20 times. At least. At least 20 times. Some of the brothers say, you don't know about this. Oh, yes, I do. Oh, yes, I do. Fevers, broken bones, pains, aches. Oh, yes, I do. Sicknesses, diseases. Oh, yes, I do. Financial problems, diversities, reverses. Yes, I know about them. Yes, I made it. It came to pass. And 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 it came to pass. Didn't come to stay. Came to pass. Came to pass us by. Just pass. Just pass. And I remember rolling back into bed. The boy had gone to sleep. And I rolled back into bed. And he went into got delirious. He would define great big things. He would see. Monsters after him, spiders, and he'd go into delirium. And I heard him starting to do it again. After sleeping for a while, I heard him start to do it again. And I rose up. I was only a young man, 22, 23, maybe somewhere there. I rose up, started to go to the bed, and God spoke. One of the few times God spoke to me in an audible voice. Now that ought to get my audience all upset. I've heard God speak to me 7 times in an audible voice with these ears. These right here on the side of my head. I hear them every day now with my spiritual ears. But these were times, and every time God ever spoke to me with an audible voice, it was always in a mild rebuke or a harsh rebuke. He doesn't have to speak any other way if you hear him. There's no need for him to speak in an audible voice too if you hear him inside of you. There's no need to. You know, he's getting ready to speak with an audible voice to this world today. They don't seem to hear him no more. Hey, I was reading the other day where Moses, hearing God speak, boy, he got scared. Moses just stood there and trembled at this, just the very word coming out of the mouth of Almighty God. I haven't accomplished it yet. God's promised me they're going to fear my words. They will. I don't know how he's going to do it. That's what makes them God. And only God can do it. I started to go over to pray for the boy, and God said to me, I heard you the first time you prayed. Just like that. Loud and clear. I heard you the first time you prayed. Isn't that something? You know, God don't only hear you the first time you pray. He hears you before you call him. He said, before you call, I hear. My Jesus knows just what I need. Oh, yes, he knows just what I need. He satisfies in every need he will supply. My Jesus knows just what I need. Why have we joined the unbelieving generation? Why have we insisted on being part of it? What in the world are you going to gain? What would a man gain? What are we going to gain if we maintain and keep our faith? Boy, how quick God can knuckle you under, break you down, wipe you out. My God, what would it profit a man, the Bible says, to gain the whole world and to lose his soul? I can't believe a generation is so determined to lose their soul. I heard you the first time. I rolled back in the bed. I said, he's yours, God. It's really what a relief. There was nothing else I could do but pray 20 times and no results. Just to get to a place where you can say, there, God, if he lives or dies. Then we act like we did something, huh? He could have lived or died either way, couldn't he? I could have over and prayed again. He could have lived or died, couldn't he? He didn't live because I prayed, and he didn't die because I didn't pray. Hallelujah. Come on, folk. We pray but that doesn't change God's mind. Prayer doesn't change God's mind. He got a made-up mind. He's settled. Praying is changing you to accept God's mind, God's will, and to believe and to trust. That's why you pray, not to change his mind. Boy, did I just say that and you don't hear me? Oh, you're not going to change the mind of God. His word is forever settled in heaven.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord.
I know it is. I'm preaching it. I went to sleep, woke up next morning, the boy was awake. Gone. I looked at his bed and he was in his bed. Couldn't understand how a boy as sick as that could be out of his bed. I went running out looking for him. Found him out in the front yard playing in the sand with a little truck, a little homemade truck. I come bursting through the door and I said, what are you doing, son? I'm okay, Daddy. I didn't argue. He's looking a lot better than the night before. And I remember telling that story so many times right to there because that's all I knew of it. I just knew that God had miraculously touched that boy. And I still remember I was down in Albany, Georgia, in a large Assembly of God church. And I told the story again because it was a good faith-building story. It was something that got folk to come alive, just like it did with y'all. Hey, this story would have been much better if y'all wouldn't have started fighting me. See, I had to stop every few minutes and reprove and rebuke because of that spirit of unbelief or that spirit of intellectual reasoning. Oh, God. No wonder Paul said I had to count all done. Just get rid of my thought pattern. Just throw it all out.
Amen.
If thou canst believe.
Amen.
My God, if we could just get rid of that stuff that hangs in our minds.
Amen.
You better do it.
Yes.
And after this service in Albany, Georgia, one night I told stories like that. A little store down the street. We were walking down, the boy and I, to get a little refreshment. He's walking alongside and holding my hand. He wasn't very large, maybe 6, 7 years old. And as I was walking, he said, Daddy, you told a story about me being sick again tonight. I said, yeah, I sure did, son. He said, you didn't tell it all. Well, I said, you know what really happened that night? I said, yeah, the Lord healed you. He said, well, Daddy, he said, more than that really happened. He said, I was afraid to tell you because I'm a little boy. I didn't think you'd believe me. Maybe I'm afraid to tell you all tonight. Because I'm just a little boy. And maybe you won't believe me. Yeah, I'm afraid to tell you all. Because I'm just a little boy. And I'm afraid you won't believe me. Well, at that time, I was a believing preacher. I'd have believed anything, anytime, anywhere. Had no trouble with unbelief, hardly, at that time. Didn't make a difference what it was. The Lord will make a way somehow. As beneath the cross, I would bow. So I say to my soul, take courage. The Lord will make a way somehow. I said, tell me about it, son, and I'll believe it. He said, well, when you didn't come back to pray for me, he said, I started to get delirious and see those strange things again. He said, I was getting scared. You getting scared, folk? Fever gets high. Get scared, some of you? Fear. Afraid of dying? Fear not. It's a command. Be not afraid. It's a charge. You can do something about it. Yeah, you can deal with fear. You can challenge it. Yeah, you can. Though you slay me, I will trust you. Yeah. I'm ready to die. Go ahead, do your stuff, Satan. Yeah, you can challenge it. Yeah, you can. My God, you know you're appointed to die. Stand on the promise of God. Abraham staggered not. Because he knew if he slew the boy, God would raise him back to life again. Oh, God, give us more than head assent to that. With the heart, man, believe it. He said, I raised up on the bed to see why you weren't coming to pray for me. He said, and as I did, he said, Jesus was standing right above me. He said he had his hands stretched out just like that, down towards me. He said, I looked at him. I said, I didn't even look at you anymore. I said, I looked at him. I said, oh, Jesus, heal me. He said, from every one of his fingers came a warm ray of light. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened. Now I know he touched me and he made me. A couple years later, the flu hit me. That same boy was still around, but a little older now. And I was doing like Jacob and like some of you. I went into my room and I didn't want to be around nobody. At least I thought so. And I wasn't doing very well. And that boy came in again. So, what's the matter, Daddy? And I said, I'm sick, son. Took his little hand, put it on my head. Said, Father, in Jesus' name, heal my daddy. And he turned and walked out. I just rolled over and groaned. Didn't get no better. About 15 minutes later, the boy walks in. He says, Daddy, get up and act like you're healed.
That's right. Praise the Lord.
We're afraid of acting, aren't we? We're afraid of putting on. Take up your bed and walk. What's the matter with you? How in the world am I going to do that? I'm a sick man. I haven't walked in 38 years. Take up your bed and walk. That's what the Lord told you to do. Y'all going to let the man shout all by himself, huh? This ain't going to help him out. No guitar, huh? Praise the Lord. Well, I want you to notice that the thing that probably caused the man trouble was Jesus did not offer him healing. Part you all missed. He didn't say, are you willing to be healed? He said, wilt thou be made whole? That your whole spirit. God's not just concerned about healing your body. He wants you to be made whole. Whole. The sickness can only destroy your body. The doubt, the fear, the unbelief can destroy your soul. Now, there's a chapter in the Bible that just about covers the whole spectrum of this subject of the character of God in healing mankind. And I'm going to read portions of it for you. Wherefore he was come down from the mountain, or when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper. Everyone knows that leprosy is a type of sin. Incurable. No human, even to this day. No human way to get rid of it. It can eat off your fingers, your nose, your eyes. It's cancerous. There is no cure for cancer, you know. They cut it out, they burn it out, but they don't cure it. And you're never made whole after they do their job. You're not made whole. No, no. Part of you is gone. Part of you is gone. A leper. It's remarkable what he did. And he worshiped him. This key to receiving something from God. Worship. 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 I wonder if we're ever going to be able to define worship. Well, it's praising God. Or it's loving God. Or it's obeying God. Or submitting to God. They just don't seem to compass it. Worship. Worship. Worship God. Worship. It's just something about it that we seem to fall short of. Worship. Worship. I'm even trembling at the word. Teach me how to worship. Help me be a worshiper. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will. Be thou clean. Settle the business of cleansing someone up once and for all. Will God clean me up? I will. I'll do it. I want you to listen to this. I want you to hear this because you see it is mind-boggling. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will. Be thou clean. I thought you were going to clean me up. Well, be clean. You're not with me. The man says, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he says, I will. I'll do my part. Now, be clean. Be clean. How? By receiving the engrafted word. You are clean. Through the word. We're a generation that knows how to say, yea, Lord. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith on him, see thou tell no man. Go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto him. Now, immediately, right after that. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Some kind of a challenge, is it? And Jesus saith unto him, I'll come and heal him. Sir, yeah. Did you understand what I said? I got a servant at home who is grievously tormented, sick of the palsy. I want you to know that before I ever asked Jesus to come and heal him, Jesus says, I'll come and heal him. I'll try it again on you peanut brains. Ooh, what a generation. Boy, it used to be so much easier preaching these subjects. Oh, what a rebellion burns in our spirit today. God, in Jesus' name, be thou clean. Be thou clean. Get that whips, those trash out of your mind. Be thou clean. Be thou clean. There came on him a centurion. Centurion was a captain of 100 soldiers. A man of authority. Beseeching him. Don't like most of you saying, I've got to tell him what my situation is first before I ask him to do anything about it. Because if he understands the situation, he may not be able to deal with it. So he came beseeching, sir, can I tell you my situation? Can I describe to you what's going on that's got me a captain of 100 Roman soldiers coming to you, sir, humbling myself? One that I love at home got the palsy. I don't know, sir, whether you can do much about this or not. But I don't want to mislead you. It's not just a headache. It's not just a tummy ache. I got plenty of money. I've been to the finest doctors. We went to the finest clinics. And I just want to tell you my case, you know. Wouldn't you like to tell them your case tonight, huh? Wouldn't you like to tell them? Because, you know, nobody knows what you're going through. You know, yours is difficult, ain't it? If the Lord would understand, he would have to give a special dispensation of power to do something for you, you know. Ain't that right? Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Before the man even gets a chance to say, can you do something about it? He says, I'll come and heal him. Are you going to believe me now? He says to the man. Before you ask me, I'm telling you what I'll do. Now, are you going to believe me now? I'll come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy. Boy, a generation that teaches everybody their worth. Whether you're in church, doing a job, everybody wants to be evaluated. They want to be worth something. They want to have worthiness. Who can be taught that the greatest act of worship, there's no way you can say he is worthy if you still think you have some worthiness. You still rob him of his worthiness if you take just a little bit of it. I will come and heal him. I didn't mean for you to do that, sir. That wasn't my intention. I'm not worthy. You come to my house. Speak the word only. Oh. Speak the word only. Speak the word only. And my servant shall be healed. If I can but touch the hem of his garment. But this generation. And when Jesus heard, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. How it grieved his heart. Because he's concerned about saving Israel. Where are you going today, sir? I'm going to the doctor to get a heart bypass. Boy, God said, if I could just find that kind of faith in Israel. They believe in them doctors. They believe in them pills. They'll put themselves in their hands. They'll trust them. Elizabeth Taylor, 60-some years old, put her hands in the hands of a doctor yesterday to cut out a tumor out of her head. Ah! Wow! Woman, huh? Yeah, just said she was feeling very fine on her way in the good hands of the doctors. Boy, if we could find faith like that in Israel. What you going to do? Put yourself in his hand, the great physician, the great emancipator. Jesus said, I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abram and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. And that's something. He's dealing with the kingdom of heaven again. Brother Stair, You started out well tonight. I thought I was going to get more faith. You don't need more faith. Well, you had me feeling pretty good there a few moments ago. Yeah. Be thou made whole. Be thou clean. The story doesn't end there. And when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. Fever. Look at that. Can you feel that damper? Everybody here seems to know a little bit about fever. Fever. And he touched her hand. I thought you touched somebody's head when they had a fever. Touched her neck. He touched her hand. And the fever left her. And she arose and ministered unto them. Have faith in God. Lord, increase our faith. You don't need any more. If thou hast faith as a grain of mustard seed, thou shalt say to this fever. Teresa said to me the last couple of days, honey, why don't you just tell the fever to go? Oh, God, in Jesus' name, heal. No, just tell it to go.
Yeah.
Say to the sycamore tree. It should obey you. Fever, go.
Yes.
Yeah. How dare you stand in the presence of the Word of God? You know, the story doesn't end there. This chapter is a whole spectrum of the character of God. I'm telling you, it is. I want you to notice as we go on. Leprosy, dealing with sin. An outcast brought in. Now one who's in, raised up. I don't know if you see the pattern. Now evening time comes. That's where we are. And when the evening was come. That's where we are. Evening time. Come on. Come on. Evening time. You notice how those fevers get worse? That you made it seemingly through that day. Evening time. They brought on him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. That it might be fulfilled which is spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. Surely he bore our sorrow, and by his stripes we are healed.
Praise the Lord.
At evening time.
Amen.
Now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. On the other side. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus saith unto him, the foxes have holes. Birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Wow, we even got it on that this week, didn't we? Jesus said unto them, follow me. Let the dead bury the dead. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea. Boy. Master, the tempest is raging. The billows are tossing high. Yeah, tempest. Insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. And he was asleep. But he was asleep. Maybe God's asleep now. Huh? Oh, character of God here. Jesus doing the will of the Father. Sleeping. I want to tell you all something. God is not the least bit disturbed about what's going on in the world today. He's got the whole world in His hand. He's got the whole wide world in His hand. He's got the whole world
in His hand.
He's got the whole world
in His
hand. He's got you and me, brother. In His hands, He got you and me, sister. In His hands, He got you and me, baby. In His hands, He got the whole world. He got the sun, moon, and stars. In His hand, He got the sun, moon, and the stars. In His hand, He's got the sun, moon, and stars. In His hand, He got the whole world. In His hand. Said the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and all that dwelleth therein. He was asleep. The disciples came to him and awoke him. I had a young man named Curtis. When I first found him, was a drunkard in Hartford, Connecticut. I can still remember the one and only sermon I ever heard him preach. I'll never forget it. It was in Savannah, Georgia. I'd asked Curtis to preach one night. Curtis looked a little bit like Wayne, tall, about his size. He got up, and I was surprised out of my wits. He took this text and said, "Wake up the sleeping Jesus in you. Wake him up." Oh, you hard heads. Simplicity just doesn't seem to reach you. Just got to complicate it. Use some vocabulary, huh? I can still remember, "Wake up," he said, "the sleeping Jesus in you. He's asleep. Wake him up. Master, carest thou not?" Oh, you're going to get rebuked now for waking him up. I promise you that. But he will take action. "Carest thou not that we perish?" Saying, "Lord, we perish. What are we going to do?" He said unto them, "Why are you fearful? Oh, ye of little faith." Then he arose, rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. The men marvel, saying, "What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" Now, remember, we're past evening time. We're coming to the night season. And the next episode is a very difficult one. And when he was come to the other side of the country, the Gadareans, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, "What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God?" Wow. We better remind the devil he got to deal with Jesus.
Amen.
We ought to start reminding the devil that he's going to pass this way again. Rage on, hell, but he's passing this way again. Oh, yes, he is. He's coming again. He's going to pass this way again. You've got something to do with Jesus? The devil besought him, saying, "If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine." And he said unto them, "Go." And they that kept them fled and went their ways into the city and told everything what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. but a picture of today. And when they saw him, they depart him, or besought him, that he would depart out of their coast. In one other chapter, another gospel said they prayed to him, get out. That's the generation we're living in. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. You people haven't heard him knocking here tonight? Are you going to tell him to get out? Are you going to open the door? If any man hear my voice, I will come in. And I will sup with him.
Thank God. Hallelujah.
And he with me. Are you going to bid him depart? Don't become such a good giver. Learn how to no longer learn how to receive. Do you know why God gave so much? So he could receive so much. He's a receiver. He is a receiver. I have learned to pray every night, Lord, receive my praise. Receive my praise. Feeble as it may be, weak as it may sound, receive my praise, O God. Receive my worship. We bring the sacrifice. Yeah, I crucify my flesh. What a joy to have him receive it. To as many as receive him, to them he gives the power, the ability to receive. Now, we talked about worship. In each incident here, where there's worship involved, believe it or not, worship is incomplete if you do not know how to receive. My God. And you people hear what I just said. And there you sit. What a veneer in front of us. That we have got to where we think that God wants us to always give. He said, no, it is my pleasure to give. It is more blessed for me to give than is to receive. Now, I'll receive your worship. It only has value because I receive it. I receive your praise, and because I receive it. As I stood in the kitchen tonight, I was standing, Pastor Mike walked by. I just looked at him. He stopped. No, I didn't say nothing. He looked at me. Then he just stood and looked at me. Probably didn't know what to say. Then he said, God bless you, prophet. I said, thank you. I received the blessing.
Hallelujah.
It would have been almost worthless to him if I had just stood silent. And he walked out. I said, thank you. I could feel the lightness in his spirit. He received my blessing. Receive my praise tonight, O God. I will. Be thou clean. Be thou made whole. I will. Are my hands clean, Lord? Be thou clean. Be thou clean. Be thou clean. Be thou clean. I will. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me whole. I will. Be thou made whole. Oh, Lord. Come on. Some of you are not pressing. Some of you are not pressing. Come on, Wayne. Press, son. Come on. Press. Come behind and press. Come on behind and press. If I can but touch the hem of his garment, I know be made whole. Hallelujah. Let God do it. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise the Lord. And Jesus departed from thence. And he came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee. And he went up into a mountain and he sat down there. A great multitude came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed. Come on, Sister Day. Come on, Sister Day. Come on. Come on, out of that thing you've been in for several weeks. Come on, Sister Day. Come on. This ain't no time to give in to the spirit of oppression. This ain't no time to act old again. Come on. Come on. My God. You people know the story of the woman with the issue of blood. Ain't nobody here suffered like that woman. Bible said she suffered at the hands of the physicians, and neither could be healed of any, and was broke in the process. I wish there's a way I could illustrate that. That particular morning she had gone into another clinic and they did some kind of a crazy thing on her, trying to stop this flow of blood. When they turned her loose into the afternoon, she staggered out that door, her pale body weak and about ready to fall to the ground, and a crowd was passing by. Above the din, she heard somebody holler, "Jesus. Where did I hear that name before? Can somebody tell me who that fella is?" "Well, that's Jesus of Nazareth." "You mean he's the one that I heard about that heals the sick? But how am I going to get to him? I'm weak. I'm broke." And she somehow falls in behind in the crowd of pushing, shoving, jabbering. Something reaches down in her spirit, says, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I know. My God, how many times have I illustrated this? How many times have I gone this? She gets behind there and the press is so great she falls. She's knocked to her knees, and it's the very means by which she can touch him. On her knees, she's able to look through the legs of the people. And she sees just 3 or 4 feet in front of her. That garment, that seamless robe. With one final lunge, she lunges it. Her hand goes through the crowd. And she touches him, and virtue goes out of him. I want to tell you something. A few days ago, Sister Stair came to me. She says, "I want you to pray for Brother Scott's wife. She's not doing well." Well, I don't pray too much. I walked over to her, and I want to tell you something. That day, I felt virtue. I could, that very moment, I could literally feel it go out of my body. I felt it. It's been a long time. It almost shocked me, because it was a long time since I felt that virtue, that quickening, that magnetism. It went right from out of my head, right down, right into her body. Jesus said, "Who touched me?" The crowd turns around and says, "You ask who touched you? Why, there's so many people here." Come on, Sister Day. Come on, come on, come on. Rise above this thing. I want you to touch him though, not just praise him. I'm telling you. I was telling the brothers outside, there's too many people that love to be sick. Yeah. They just love it. Little pity party. "Oh, I know you're going to insist it's not so. Then why are you hanging on to it so long?"
"Let it go."
"Huh? Why are you petting it?" "I will be thou made whole. Rise, take up your bed and walk." "Sir, I've been here for 38 years and you tell me to walk, how in the world am I going to walk? I just told you, get up and walk."
Do it.
Jesus wouldn't do that. "Well, what do you want?" He said to a man, 38 years, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Hey, we're a society that glorifies sickness. Just like we do with sin. We glorify sin. We glorify rebellion. We give it a place it shouldn't have. Yeah, we do. Save yourself from this untoward generation. Be thou made whole. Jesus said, who touched me? Peter said, anybody could have touched you. Jesus said, no, not anybody. But everybody could have touched you. No. Not everybody. Somebody. Somebody touched me. Not everybody. Hey, he was being jostled by everybody. It's like all you say, somebody can touch him tonight. Yeah, maybe everybody can. Everybody's not going to do it, I can assure you that. Anybody, just not anybody, but somebody can touch him. While I was praying, somebody touched me. While I was praying, somebody touched me. While I was praying, somebody touched me. It must have been the hand of the Lord. Jesus said, somebody touched me. Scripture says, the woman was afraid. Jesus stopped. Woman, your faith has made you whole. Jesus departed from thence and came nigh to the Sea of Galilee, went up to a mountain and sat down. And great multitudes came on him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed. Interesting word there. Maimed. Maimed. You believe it or not, when I first lost that finger, it's been prophesied that God's going to put it back on. Maybe just when I pointed at the Pope of Rome. Oh, you don't believe that? I never doubted it. I'll tell you that much. Maimed. And many others. And they cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, and the blind to see. And they glorified the God of Israel. Then Jesus called his disciples on him and said, I have compassion on the multitude. I wonder tonight. He said, heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of heaven is come nigh unto you. Ever since I've been back, I've wept in my spirit. What is wrong, God? Why do you hear brothers having divisions among them? You too, I hope, down there by the rivers made things right. I hope so. Maybe we'd never see it again. And the Lord said to me, you know what's wrong with them, prophet Stare? They're full souled, and they are loathing the honeycomb. They're not hungering and thirsty. You almost got to where you long for the reproof at the table. Well, I want to tell you something. When Jesus comes back, he's not coming back to reprove the people. He's coming back to say, well done. Yes. So you better get beyond the reproof. The people that goes into the kingdom are going to be, enter thou. If you are not unrebukable, you are not. Oh, I love rebuke. I love rebuke. Well, but you better get beyond rebuke and beyond reproof.
That's right.
He's not looking for people to reprove and say, now go into the kingdom.
No.
Blessed is he who, when the Lord cometh, findeth him so doing. Ah, they're doing what I wanted them to do. Well, what does Brother Stare holler about all the time? Unfinished. Get them done. Practice getting things done so you become a finisher. We are not dealing with the author. We all know God authored faith and gave it to us. Come on, but we are the finishers.
Amen.
He is the finisher, but he is working in us. We are becoming finishers. Come on, people.
Come on.
You remember what Jesus said? It is finished. You remember Paul said, I have finished.
Yes.
We must be finished.
Amen.
Blessed is he who when the Lord comes finds him so doing. Don't let him find you. Why are you standing idle by here?
Yeah.
He came in the first part of the day, the third hour of the day, and the noon hour, and he still found some standing idly by. And the question even in the last hour before quitting time was, why are you standing here? Idle. For we have no man. What are you talking about? The field is still out there. The work is still there. Blessed is he who, when the Lord cometh, he findeth him so doing. I'm telling you, you better get where you're unrebukable. Anybody who's rebukable in the last part of the day, you're going to be left outside. He's coming to say, well done. Now kick all you want to and say it can't be done, but it's not going to work. You are inexcusable. It can be done. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. W-H-O-L-L-Y. That has nothing to do with H-O-L-Y. It means entirely. That your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved.
Amen.
Until the day of Jesus Christ. And he shall present it to himself a glorious church. Without spot, wrinkle, blemish, or any such thing. He is able. He is able.
He is able
to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. Though by sin oppressed, come to God for rest. Our God is able to deliver thee. Wilt thou be made whole? Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. I will. Be thou clean. Lord Jesus, I long to be perfect, the whole. I ask thee forever to live in my soul. Cast out every idol. Cast down every foe. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter. Thank you, God. Yes, whiter than snow. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter. Yes, whiter than snow. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Wilt thou be made whole? Lay your hands on somebody next to you, please. Our Heavenly Father, Eternal God, in the name of Yahweh, in the name of Yahshua, in the name of Jesus, we come to you tonight thanking you for the Word of God that liveth and abideth forever. Thank you for your faithfulness to your children. Thank you for your promises to them that believe. I smite every sickness. I cast out every fever. I bind every virus. I rebuke every tormenting spirit. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command the people to be free. Let the people go.
Amen.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, Father.
Receive our praise. Receive our worship. Oh, let it be pure, uninhibited. Oh, the pure worship and the pure praise of those who believe on you, O God of heaven and earth, of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Glory be to God. Across America, throughout the radio waves, into every home, into every place. Oh God, we pray the prayer of faith tonight. If they've committed sins, let them be forgiven. Let the forgiveness, the power of God, break every yoke. I pray for your children. I pray for your household of faith. Satan, the Lord rebuke you. Oh, hallelujah. We bind you, Satan. We cast you out. We cast you down in the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Satan, the Lord rebuke you. I pray for those in prisons, in hospitals, in mental hospitals. I pray for those, dear God, in torture, in pain, in bondage. Let the people of God go free. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Satan, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you, cancer. The Lord rebuke you, sickness and disease and fever. The Lord rebuke you, depression and oppression. The name of Jesus is against you. Let God's people go. At evening time, we bring the lame, the deaf, the dumb, the man, the sick and the oppressed. Hallelujah. 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 Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Shall we stand together? To the utmost, Jesus say. Oh, to the utmost, Jesus say. He will pick you up and turn you round. Hallelujah. Jesus said, oh, to the utmost, Jesus said, to the utmost, Jesus said, oh, he will pick you up and turn you around. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Jesus says, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God.